The beginning of the Sedra speaks about the special laws of the Kohanim. Emer el Kohanim b'nei Aaron. And I think the laws that apply to the Kohen pretty much epitomize the role of a Kohen. Let's first discuss what the role of a Kohen is, the various roles of Kohanim. In the ideal times when there's a Beis HaMikdash and the Kohen can serve in the Beis HaMikdash and make sacrifices. The Kohen basically, well, the word Kohen means to minister, a Meshoris, an Oved, a servant. Service means to be an Eved, a servant. A servant is totally negated and subjugated to the one that he serves. A Kohen is described as being Shlucha the Rachmana, he is God's agent to the Jewish people, and Shlucha Didon, and he's our agent to God. He is Kibiyachal, the go-between between God and the Jewish people. When you want to give something to God, God designates the Kohen to be the one to give it to. When you want to bring a sacrifice, the Kohen represents God in receiving the sacrifice, and he represents us in making the sacrifice for us. So he has to be totally negated and subjugated to both the Jewish people and to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to be both of their agents. The Kohen's role also is to teach Torah. And that also is a similar role, because Torah is what connects and bonds a person to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the Kohen being the one who brings us closer and bonds us to God, both through the sacrifices and through the learning of Torah. Torah is God's will, and when we learn Torah, we are cleaving, attaching ourselves, bonding ourselves to God's will. So the Kohen being the intermediary is the one who teaches Torah. Sitse Kohen Yishmeru Das, the Torah Yevakish Mipihu, Ki Malach Hashem Tzvokosu. The lips of the Kohen guard knowledge, and Torah you seek from him, because he is a Malach Hashem. Malach means an agent, a representative, an agent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Another thing that the Kohen does, he's the one, the Kohanim were prominent on the Sanhedrin to decide the Alpi V'yeko Riv B'chol Nega. They decided monetary cases, Rivos, Hivrei Rivos. When there were arguments, differences of opinion between people, the Kohen was on the court that resolved these differences. And also the Kohen, as we learned in 2 weeks ago, Sedra, the Kohen is the one who saw the Negoyim Tzoras, whether it was on a person's body or in the house or in the clothing. The Kohen was the one who had to declare it Tahar, pure, or Tamei, defiled. So the Reeve and the Nega, the differences, the fights between people were resolved by the Kohen. He sat on the Jewish court, and also nega all of the afflictions of Tzoras were the domain of the Kohen. So those were basically the roles of the Kohen. So the Kohen needed certain qualities to be able to fulfill these roles. And because he had the qualities, he got these roles. What were the qualities of a Kohen? First of all, why was Aaron HaKohen, why did he merit to be a Kohen? Why did he become the Kohen and his children Kohanim and all the other families of Levi remained Leviim, including Moshe Rabbeinu? Torah tells us that when Moshe Rabbeinu was chosen to be the redeemer of Klal Yisrael, and one would think that Aaron would have been slighted. He was the old brother. He was the brother who had all of the missions in Egypt prior to this. And now came the major mission. And Aaron is passed over, and Moshe, the little brother, is given the mission. And Moshe himself was afraid that his brother would feel insulted, slighted. And that's why he refused adamantly to accept this responsibility, for fear that Aaron would be hurt. But in the end, the Torah tells us, V'ra'acha v'somach b'libo, God testified that when Aaron sees you the first time and finds out that you have been chosen to be the Redeemer, not only won't he be insulted, not only won't he feel slighted, he'll see you and he'll be happy in his heart. Not that he'll give you a nice big smile and in his heart he's eating his heart out. The somach belibo, his heart will be happy. He'll feel no slighting. He's totally selfless, totally self-effacing. And that is the reason Aaron's heart was pure. He had no feelings of slight, being slighted, totally negated to the Ribbono Shel Olam and to Klal Yisrael. If Moshe Rabbeinu is the Redeemer, what could be wrong with that? Has to be me. And therefore, Aaron's heart was so pure, so subservient and subjugated and negated to the Jewish people and to the Ribbono Shel Olam, self-effacing, that he was zoche to be the Kohen, and he got to wear the names of the Jewish people on his heart in the Urim Betumim Bechoshim. Another midah that Aaron had is the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Have him Talmid of Shel Aaron, be from the disciples of Aaron HaKohen. Ohev Shalom, love peace. Rodev Shalom, pursue peace. Ohev Sabrios, love all creations. Umekarv and Latorah, and bring them closer to Torah. Okay, now, the idea of Shalom, we've explained many times, doesn't necessarily mean peace. Shalom means shleimus perfection, harmony. When things work together in harmony, then there can be some form of perfection in this world. No one thing in this world can ever be perfect. Only God is perfect. Perfection in this world is only when many things work together, each contributing its limited part. Each one has a portion. Together they can reach towards perfection in a team effort, in a coordinated, harmonious team effort. So, Ohev Shalom, Aaron HaKohen loved the concept of perfection and harmony. And he didn't only love it. Judaism is not a religion where you can stand on the sidelines and root for important things. You have to get involved. I always say that that's, my Rosh Hashiva, my gifter said, he learned this from Benos Slavcha. They asked a good question. They came and they wanted a share in their father's inheritance, because normally girls don't get a share, but they had no boys. So they wanted the inheritance in Eretz Yisrael. And before God answered them, he said, Kain Benos Slavcha Dovros. They said something good. Tell them, give them a Yashar Koach. They asked a good question. Our Shiva learned from there, when somebody does something good, you have to encourage them, support them, let them know they did something good. And really it's echoed in the Gemara. The Gemara says whoever mentions a tzaddik and doesn't bless him transgresses a positive commandment. Zecher tzaddik livracha. The memory of a tzaddik should be a bracha, means to increase. If you like tzaddikim, give them a bracha. Encourage them. Increase, intensify what they represent. And the opposite is also true. When you mention a Rasha, a wicked person, you should give him a klola. Curse him. Weaken him. You don't like evil, do something about it. Decrease it. Minimize it. Give it a curse. There's a Gemara that says, Kol anehena misudas chasa, whoever enjoys the banquet made at a wedding, banquet of a chasim, the eino masamcho, and he doesn't make the chasim happy, is over behe kolos. He transgresses five sounds, five voices. Kol sason, the kol simcha, kol chason, the kol kala, kol omrim hodu l'Hashem. Five times it mentions kol by chason and kala. So I once wanted to explain what it means as the following. Person who goes to a wedding and he enjoys the idea. I like weddings. Weddings are a positive thing. All for matrimony. So if that's the case, do something about it. You have a chance to strengthen this young couple. Make them happy. Give them some happiness to set the foundation of their marriage. You're all for the concept, but you don't do anything positive to promote it. Then you've missed the point completely. If you think in Judaism that something is valuable, do something about it. Encourage it. Don't just stand on the sidelines and root and say it's okay, it's nice. Therefore, Aaron was not only a person who loved perfection, harmony, but he encouraged it, he ran after it, he pursued it. And he loved all creations, and he brought them closer to Torah. And that is shleimus. How does one reach perfection? By getting closer and attaching himself to the source of all perfection, which is God. So the Kohen is the one who brings people closer to Torah, and like we said, Torah is God's will, so he brings them closer to God. And by attaching people to God, he brings harmony and peace to the world. That's his function, making the sacrifices, serving in the Beis HaMikdash, bringing harmony to all different creations, using each one in its proper time, in its proper way, towards perfection. Therefore, all these things represent life. What's life? Life is not just the symptoms of life, the signs of life. You breathe, your heart beats, you walk, you talk. That is not real life. That's temporary life. That's life that when it starts, it begins to wind down. Real life is eternal life. And therefore, real life is having a connection to the source of eternal life, which is God. And that's not a machiav. This is a pasuk in the Torah. The atem hadveikim b'Hashem Elokeichem. You who cleave to the Lord your God, chayim kulchem hayom. You are totally alive today. That is life. Attaching yourself, connecting yourself, bonding yourself with the source of eternal life, that is what real life is all about. And therefore, the Kohen is responsible to bond people to God. He is the epitome of life. And therefore also he atones for the sins of the Jewish people. Sins separate between us and God. So when he takes away the sin, he takes away the separation, lets us bond with the Ribbono Shel Olam. When he brings our sacrifices, what is a sacrifice? A korban. He brings us closer to attach ourselves and bond ourselves with God. So the Kohen basically is a medium to bring life to the Jewish people. And therefore, they also teach Torah. Torah is called Torah Chaim, the Torah of life. Same idea. Torah binds us with God's will. Binding to God is life. So Torah is a Torah of life. And that bonding with HaKadosh Baruch Hu can only be when the Jewish people are united. Ata Echad, you God are one. Vishimcha Echad, your name is one. Umika Amcha Yisrael, Goy Echad Ba'aretz. Who is like the Jewish people when they're one in Eretz Yisrael, united physically and spiritually together? Because in order to bond with God, we have to be like Him. So if we are dispersed and disunified, then we really can't bond with the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's only as a unified nation, when there's Achdus amongst Klal Yisrael, then God is, then we can bond with the oneness of God. Therefore, all these things represent life. And therefore, one of the hallmarks of the special laws that apply to a Kohen is that he can't defile himself to the dead, except his seven closest relatives. Why? Because the Kohen is the epitome of life. He is the medium to bring life to Klal Yisrael. He has to be far away from death. The antithesis of Kohuna is death. So he's separated from defiling himself to the dead. And Tumah, defilement, is also a separation between the physical and spiritual sides of a person. Tumah is wherever there was a Kedusha, a holiness, in an article, in a place, and it left, the vacuum that's left is either Tumah itself, Tumah is that vacuum, or Tumah fills that vacuum. So, for instance, a person is alive, he has a neshama. When his neshama leaves, it leaves a vacuum. That vacuum is Tumah. When an animal dies, it had a certain amount of holiness. The vacuum that's formed is Tumah. But an animal is less tame when it dies than a human being. Because the more the Kedusha, the more the vacuum when the Kedusha leaves. And a Jew is more tame than a non-Jew. Because there's more Kedusha. Wherever there's more Kedusha, there's more Tumah. For the lady's sake, I give you something to be proud of. If you remember a few weeks ago, it says that when a boy is born, it causes the mother to be tame 7 days, and Tahar for 14 days. She's defiled for 7 days, and she has extra purity for 14 days. when she has a girl, she's defiled for 14 days, and her time of purity is, the time of purity by the boy is 33 days, and by the girl, 66 days. Double the time. So one would think, well, a girl makes more tumah in the world. That's not the idea. The idea is when a woman is pregnant, she has another neshama inside. When she gives birth, that neshama leaves. So it creates a vacuum. It creates tumah. But that would imply that when the boy's neshama leaves her, it creates less of a vacuum than when a girl's neshama leaves her. A girl's neshama is a greater neshama. Because a girl has the potential to bring other life personally into this world, whereas a man is only indirect. So therefore, the neshama that leaves, when the girl's neshama leaves, is a double neshama. So it leaves double tumor. Leaves double vacuum. Okay, in any case. And therefore, tsaras is defilement, but it comes because people speak Lashon Hara, because they slander other people, and they cause disunity. So who's the one to bring back unity to Klal Yisrael? The Kohen. He's the one who has to deal with bringing unity to Klal Yisrael, both because of spiritual disunity, because of Lashon Hara, and physical disunity because of fights over monetary things or whatever. Now, all of this was very nice in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when the Kohanim had all these roles. How about today? It's interesting, the parsha starts, Emor el ha-Kohanim v'yomarta aleihem. Rashi comments, based on Chazal, Emor v'yomarta, why the double say, Lahazir gdolim alaktan, that not only are adult Kohanim commanded to keep these laws, the adults have to make sure the children also keep them. Now normally children, the only mitzvah is a rabbinic mitzvah to educate them. Here it's a Torah mitzvah to make sure that a child is a Kohen, even one day old, shouldn't become tummy. If a woman is in the hospital giving birth, and she's a wife of a Kohen, husband's a Kohen, so that if it's a boy, the child's a Kohen, and there's a nifter, a dead body in the hospital, then she gives birth in the hospital, it's a problem, because she's matami, her little child, one day old Kohen, it's a problem. As long as the Kohen is inside her, there's no problem. Tumah can't affect a person when he's inside another body. But as soon as he comes out, it's affected. So why is this different? I was thinking, it comes to tell us that even though the Kohanim can't actually fulfill all these roles today, there's no Beis HaMikdash, but it's not the actual fulfillment of the role that necessitates these laws, it's the potential, the intrinsic qualities that the Kohen possesses. Therefore, it's not only adult Kohanim, it's even a one-day-old Kohen, has intrinsically those qualities. And therefore, those laws apply to him too. He also can't become Tumah. It's interesting, there's three places where the Torah says that adults are required to make sure that children also keep these laws. Again, most of the time, the laws are of chinuch, of education, are only rabbinic. But in these three places, they're clearly from the Torah. One is Shabbos. A gadol has to make sure that children also keep Shabbos. V'hazir gdolim alaktanim. And another place is shrotzim. Eating things that are not kosher. Now, why those three things specifically? Thinking because those three things, I would think that children are exempt. Shabbos, the melachas you do on Shabbos have to be melachas machshavas. They have to be work, creative activity done in a creative, thought out manner. If you do it backhanded, if you don't think about it, it's not chilul Shabbos. Now, you're not allowed to do it, but you didn't transgress the Shabbos from the Torah. It has to be thought out, that's called meleches machshavos. And I think, therefore, that a child is not capable of having that kind of thought process. So therefore, his not keeping Shabbos is irrelevant. Comes along the Torah and says, no. Shabbos is something that permeates the atmosphere, even children have to be involved in. Same thing goes with shrotzen. I might think that if you eat something and you don't have anything in mind, and you don't know what you're eating or whatever, it has no effect on you. But it's not true. It's the shrotzen mametamte mesalei. Eating things that aren't kosher stuff up your heart, just like cholesterol stuffs up your heart physically. These things stuff up your heart spiritually. So it applies to a child too. It's an intrinsic effect. And the same thing with the Kohanim. It's not only an adult who could actually fulfill these roles. It's the intrinsic quality of the Kohen that necessitates that he has this holiness. So therefore, even a child. And therefore, the second kind of laws that the Kohen is separated is who he can marry. Regular Jew can marry a divorcee. A Kohen is not allowed to marry a divorcee. Right? You know, there's some other kinds of women that a Kohen can't marry. Why? Because marriage is a symbol of our relationship to God. As the Rambam says, the whole Shir HaShirim is an allegory of God's love for the Jewish people and the Jewish people's love for God. So the relationship between a husband and wife is a testing ground, proving ground, a stepping stone to our relationship with God. So a Kohen has to have more of a holy relationship with his wife in order to be an example of that relationship that he's supposed to forge between the Jewish people and God. In addition, the Kohen who serves in the Beis HaMikdash can't be a Baal Mum. He can't have a blemish. Broken arm, broken leg, missing an eye, or other kinds of blemishes. The Sfarno points out there are some blemishes by an animal. An animal also, again, brings a sacrifice, can't be a blemished animal. There are certain blemishes that in fact make the animal fatter and stronger. But yes, they're invalid to be a sacrifice. So I would understand a blemish that makes the animal inferior. But a blemish, you cut off certain organs and it makes the animal better, stronger. Right? So why is that a mum? Says the Sfarno, when it comes to service of God, it's not how big or how strong something is, it's how close to perfection it is. A blemish is the opposite of perfection. It's imperfect. And the avodah of the Rabbanu Shalom is to attach yourself to God and be as perfect as you can. And that's why the halacha is, if you have this gigantic challah, you know, they serve by a bris, 2 feet long, 3 feet long, but little pieces cut off. And you have a little dinner roll. And now you want to eat both of them, you have to know which one to make the motzi on. The 3 foot challah that's missing a little bit, or the little dinner roll that's whole. The halacha is clear. You make the brach on the little dinner roll. Why? Because shalem, something that is perfect, complete, takes precedence over something big but incomplete. Bigness is not the main thing. How complete it is. And therefore the Kohen has to represent perfection, completion, and he can't have certain blemishes. However, the truth is that it's not only the Kohanim or Kohanim. To a certain degree, all Jews are Kohanim. We are called Mamleches Kohanim, the Goy Kadosh. We are an empire of Kohanim and a holy nation. We represent God to the world, just like the Kohen represents God to the Jewish people, and he's one notch above to attach us and connect us to God. We are the Kohanim of the world. We are that one notch above. We have 613 commandments, they only have 7. And we are the medium to attach them to God. Therefore, the Torah makes it a point to say some laws that apply to regular Jews also apply to Kohanim. They can't shave with a razor, can't cut off their payas, they can't make incisions on their flesh in mourning for the dead. All these halakhas apply equally to regular Jews and to Kohanim. So why did the Torah say it by Kohanim? To tell me that the Kohen only differs, I think, from the regular Jew in his inner qualities, that helped make him a medium, a go-between between God and the Jewish people. But how it affects externally, how he looks, his payas, his beard, not, mutilating his body, which is how the world views us. The world views regular Jews and Kohanim the same. We're all Kohanim. When it comes to how the world views us, all Jews are Kohanim. When it comes to our relationship, inner relationship between us and the Kohen is a notch above and has these extra laws of holiness that don't apply to a regular Jew, so he can be the one to help and bond us to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So that is a little bit of an understanding of the laws of the Kohen, why the Torah demands it, and what the role of a Kohen is, and the Kohen also gives us the bracha, Birkas Kohen. And that bracha is the bracha of Shalom, of peace and harmony. Because that is the role of the Kohen, to attach us to God. In order to do that, we have to have peace and harmony. As then we can have perfection. Once we're more perfect, we can have a connection to God who is perfect. And that's why the Kohen is separated from death. He is the ultimate symbol of life, because being attached and bonded to God is the ultimate life. Okay. Any questions on this? Yeah.
You said about the Kohen being a Sanhedrin. But he's not a Kohen, right? I mean,
what?
He's not broad enough. He's not able to be a Dayan. He can't be a member of the Sanhedrin. He's got to be on the level of the Tamil Chachamim.
Yeah, no. They preferred, right, Kohen, if he's an Am Ha'aretz, can't be on the Sanhedrin.
Exactly.
But they preferred, right, Kohanim and Levian, who were Talmid Chachamim, on the Sanhedrin.
Everything else being equal.
Right, everything else being equal. Right. Yeah.
Is there an assumption here that the Kohanim are worthy to?
Right. Intrinsically, every Kohen, somebody who discovered the DNA of Kahuna, right, that all Kohanim have a certain DNA. Now, it's not really 100% true. They may have the DNA, but just because they'll make a test and find out that you have that DNA doesn't make you a Kohen. Because it could be you are a direct descendant of Aaron, but your great-great-grandmother, no offense, right, was a divorcee who married a Kohen. So you are a direct descendant from the father, but that child of a divorcee and a Kohen is not a Kohen anymore. He is physically, has the DNA of a Kohen, but he's not a Kohen. Halacha. He's a Kohen. And all of his children are not Kohanim. So somebody could test positive for a DNA of Kahuna and not be a Kohen. But it's interesting that, physically at least, there is something special about that family. So what I'm telling you is there are special spiritual qualities that are passed on from generation to generation, from Aaron HaKohen, till, how many of you are Kohanim here? Anybody Kohen? Not even one Kohen. Okay, neither am I. Same boat. Interesting. Make sure we should hire one token Kohen. In any case, nobody's a Kohen. Okay. So, you're a Kohen? Oh, okay. So you have within you intrinsic qualities that you inherited from Aaron HaKohen, whether you recognize them or not. They're there. And the Mirtz Hashem, the Beis HaMikdash shall be built, you'll be able to use them to their most intense degree. Yeah.
True about Kohanim having kind of inclination to put towards anger,
because since they have this connection to perfection, perfectionists usually have short tempers. Short tempers. You ever met people who are perfectionists? It's very difficult to live with that. Yes.
You mentioned earlier that Kohanim are somewhat like the middleman between Hashem and.
I said that with reservation. That we don't really need a middleman, right?
And we understand that we receive berachot from the Kohanim.
We really receive the berachot from God, but the Kohen is the medium to project them.
And you mentioned also that
not so much speak, but we relate to God through sacrifices and whatever, and the Kohen is the go-between in offering those sacrifices. When it comes to speaking to God, you speak them directly. You don't need any Kohen.
So that's I'm not clear about.
You don't need a Kohen to.
An example of how we proceed through the Kohen into it.
Sacrifices. Right? You bring a sacrifice, you can't offer it on the Mizbeach. You can slaughter it. But the sprinkling of the blood, which is the essence of the sacrifice, has to be done by a Kohen.
But today.
So the Kohen. Today. Today there's no vestige of how we have to relate to God through the Kohen. God uses the Kohen as a medium to bless us on his end. On our end, nothing, the only thing is sacrifices.
What about the Jonah Ben?
What? No, those are things where God says, these things are consecrated, and I want you to give me and give it to the Kohen. He represents me. Maybe something like that. Give Trumas Maestras to a Kohen, it's like you're giving it to God. But the major point is a sacrifice, which means to bring closer. So the Kohen is the medium to bring us closer to God through a sacrifice. That's really the only thing.